This is absolutely disgusting. What the hell's going on here?
Well, unlike you, I'm not into penis jokes.
He's out of his mind. They couldn't block him.
Buccaneers fans, here we go. Marching toward July with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports on your favorite podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. 61 years of Tampa tradition. 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And of course, Ira, when I say 61 years, people think, oh, it must be talking about Ira. No, Ira's got him beat. He's got Bill Curry Ford beat. That's why he's the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Uncle Ira, the King of Newport Richie, the Custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. And before I say hello to you, Ira, I just want to remind everybody that we're on a good roll here with a few exciting podcasts, but they're all at JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict. We've got thousands of subscribers, and you can subscribe anywhere for a free alert. It doesn't cost anything, or you can listen right on the website like so many do and catch up through these summer months. Plenty to talk about. Ira, how are you? Any good Father's Day stories? What's going on?
Yeah, I'll give you a Father's Day story, gentlemen. I'm despondent. I'm appalled. I can't believe what happened Sunday. And yes, no, I'm a Sixer fan since the days of Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain! I'm talking about 50 freaking years. And they just did an ultimate choke job. Unbelievable. Ben Simmons, everybody's weighing in. They got to get rid of this guy. The process. What's the matter? I can't get a nice victory in Game 7? What the hell's going on there? They lost to a team that they're much better than. Much better than. You know, when the Bucks had a 12-year playoff drought, Isbitz, at least they lost to teams that were better than them because almost everybody was better than them. This time, I'm watching a team that's clearly better than their opponent. They lost 3 games at home. I mean, this is absolutely disgusting. I might give up on basketball. Luckily, the Giants are doing well in baseball. But, Lee, 48 hours later, I still ain't gotten over this thing.
Wow. So what you're saying is your Sixers would have been better off with Gene Simmons as opposed to Ben Simmons.
I just can't believe what the heck happened. I mean, Atlanta's best player didn't even have a good game on Sunday, and they still beat Philly on the road. I mean, the disparity in talent between these two teams was obvious. I'm beside myself. Isbitz, can you cheer me up a little bit, Steve?
Well, Ira, my Father's Day was much better. I was sitting there in the evening drinking Sunny Key Lime at the Big Storm Tap Room. And, of course, that's a Big Storm beer, one of Florida's best craft beers, which is Big Storm beer. There's the Bromosa, which we were drinking during last podcast. Ira, actually, you had a Tropic Pressure Golden Ale as Lee was sucking down a Wavemaker Amber Ale as GM Sean Sullivan was not partaking since he's always working 24/7 at Bill Curry Ford. But we love Big Storm, Ira, and just a great atmosphere, of course, at the tap room, on the patio, the food, the ambiance. And, of course, I ran into one of our fans, one of our listeners who was at the draft party. He was there with his dad watching the Rays game, sucking down a beer. He's ready for training camp.
You know, sometimes forget that, you know, they got a nice operation over in Orlando at the Amway Center. Or tonight on Instagram, Big Storm Brewing pumped out some photos. It's a Tuesday night in the middle of summer. No NBA going on. That place is packed. There's not a seat to be had.
Well, I'll say this about Big Storm Amway Center. It is available and accessible to the public every day. There doesn't have to be an event there, and it's one of the kind of hot new places in Orlando. So go check it out, and you can find them. They now have it updated at their website, bigstormbrewery.com. You can click on Orlando, and of course, on their social media accounts, especially on Facebook, they're throwing up pictures every single day there as well for Big Storm Orlando, and they're in Cape Coral and Odessa. I want to run this past you because you know this guy better than I do. You know him better than Lee does. And I'm just trying to get a feel as somebody who is a Chiefs fan, Ira, as well as a Bucks fan, and that's you. And Travis Kelce was on Sirius Radio, Ira, and he says, I'll tell you what, If we play that game against the Bucks, nine times out of ten, or 99 times out of 100, we're not getting the same result, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on to say that the Chiefs weren't into it, that they weren't feeling like they were into it before the game. And sure enough, that's how it ended up. And then he tries to, you know, switch gears and say he's got nothing but respect for the Bucks. It was a big pile of BS in my mind. What do you think of Travis Kelce saying that on national radio?
I'm very disappointed in Travis Kelce. He's probably my favorite Chief. He's one of the very few Chiefs, I think you can count him on one hand, that absolutely played okay that day. He caught 10 balls, Lee. I mean, he did, even with Mahomes running for his life. And he would have caught more if they could hold up the pass rush. But, Lee, he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. You know, if they played 10 times on that with those two teams going in the way they were, I think the Chiefs win maybe one or two. Maybe. Not 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100. I think he's that's absolute bitter nonsense. Lee, we've talked about it. Story of the game. Buck pass rush against the Chiefs protection. It was men against boys. That was the story of the game. I don't want to hear about Todd Bowles changing up his secondary and rotating the schemes. Nah, come on. They couldn't block him, Lee. You don't have to go any further than that. Just ask Patrick Mahomes. And that would have been the same story if, you know, the same, 22 starters lined up. Bucks win the game. Bucks were the better team. I expect a little more class out of Kelce.
Even though he had, 10 catches? Levante game had pretty much neutered him. Yeah, he got a few catches, but he wasn't a game breaker. You look play by play, Levante David did a hell of a job on Kelce. What I think is a steaming load of BS was when Kelce said, yeah, we weren't into it. It's the friggin' Super Bowl. You weren't into it? If that was the case, he should have gone after the game, day later, 2 days later, a week later. Was it the GM's name, Vance, at Kansas City? Should have gone to Vance and said, okay, this guy wasn't up to playing in the Super Bowl. This guy wasn't up to playing in the Super Bowl. This guy wasn't into playing the Super Bowl. Get their asses off the roster.
Steve, he was into it until Shaq Barrett flew and JPP flew past him and made Mahomes run for his life. He was into it. You know who may not have been into it? I mean, really, you know, to be honest, maybe Andy Reid could say that, Steve, maybe, because of what happened a couple of days before the game, and that's family, and who knows what the heck's going to happen to his son. I mean, he could be locked up for 10 years. But Travis Kelce can't say that, Steve. And like Lee said, if you're not into the Super Bowl, you don't belong on the field.
You're a loser. If he knows of teammates that weren't into it, it's a Super Bowl, the ultimate game, get rid of them. They're losers. If that is actually true, I don't know Kelce. Sometimes Kelce impresses me as a guy that just talks nonsense. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He just talks. That's, if I was a Chiefs fan and I heard that, I'd be irate.
You know, and Steve, just to put a cap on it, speaking of the AFC champions, Frank Clark, who's one of their two main pass rushers, along with Chris Jones. And by the way, Frank Clark did nothing in the Super Bowl against the Buck O-line. In the words of Lee DeKemper, he just got clipped for having an Uzi in his car. And apparently, the second time in the last 4 months, he's had a gun violation. What the hell's going on in Kansas City?
Well, yeah, apparently he's in California. That's where he got popped. And that was a mistake. A lot of states he can get away with, if not California. You know, the People's Republic of California. But here's an Uzi, Ira, is like a bad sports radio show host. I went to a gun... A shooting range in Las Vegas once. And they let me shoot all kinds of Cold War weapons, like Russian guns, old-style American guns, and British Secret Service guns. And one of them was the Uzi, which is, if I remember correctly, that's a Mossad gun that was made by the Israelis. Anyway, I shot the gun, and I'm like, man, my accuracy is terrible in this. And the gun shop guy, he looks at me, he smiles, he goes, well, Uzis aren't made for accuracy. They're made for spreading shit. And that's like a bad sports radio host. He's not meant to be accurate. He's meant to spread shit.
Stop talking about Skip Bayless like that, DeKemper.
Well, Ira, you know, I don't know about your Chiefs. I don't really care. I just thought it was kind of weak by Kelce. And Like Lee said, if some of the Chiefs just were feeling like they were flat before the game and couldn't snap out of it, man, that just speaks to a whole bigger problem, and it's not our problem. So who cares? But weak stuff there by Kelce. Ira, what in is never weak, and people who are never flat, are the guys at Bill Curry Ford. Because, you know, we talk about Sean Sullivan, the GM, all the time, but there's a couple of hundred people who work there. And his team is top shelf from top to bottom. Starts with Jennifer Curry and Mr. Curry, the owners, family owned for 61 years. And of course, Sean Sullivan is the GM over there. And he's ready to help all of our listeners personally. You know, even if you've got a service question about a vehicle that you, you're thinking of putting a few thousand dollars into, Sean will answer your questions. He'll take your email. You can reach him, find him online at BillCurryFord.com. Or you want to say, hey, you know, Sean, new vehicle's coming out in September. I'm interested in it. I know I got to order it. I want to get out of my lease. What can I do? How does this work? You don't just have to walk in and get a sales pitch and walk out with a car or a truck or a Mustang Roush or something. You know, they're happy to do that. But Sean's ready for you 24-7. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford. Not 24-7, but close. Bill Curry Ford. .com. And of course, he was on our last podcast chatting about the Bucks. A lot of people like that spirited running backs debate. Ira, when I edited that podcast, I think we were talking just about the running back position in the competition for about half an hour. And you don't get that every day. So that was kind of fun to go deep on that, Ira. I got to throw this at you. It is the news of the day. So since we're recording here on Tuesday night, news of the day, Ira, Ian Rappaport was reporting, and there was a statement from Antonio Brown's lawyer, or actually one of his many lawyers, who said that it's official. Antonio Brown has finished his probation a year early. It was June of 2020 when he pled guilty to an assault type of charge with the moving truck guy at his place in South Florida. You know, anybody can Google and get the whole story. But at the time, he was sentenced to a couple of years probation, anger management classes. I think it was 13 hours and community service and time with a shrink and all that. But he got it all done a year early. So he's released. He's a free man. And, you know, good for him, Ira. Any thoughts there?
Lee, much ado about nothing, in my opinion. I'll tell you why. Guys that can afford, you know, the best attorneys around, and Antonio Brown's one of them. Most of the time, Lee, most if not all, these things disappear. They have a way of disappearing. You know, it wraps up a year early. You're a free man. Everything's dropped. I really wasn't concerned about the legal ramifications of Antonio Brown's situation going into 2021. And I really don't think the Bucks were either. Lee, otherwise, I think it would have they would have hesitated bringing him back. I think this just makes it official, Lee. He doesn't have these things behind him. But I really don't think for the last year, I don't really think it's been on his mind very much. I really don't. And I think it's just another indication that at least in professional sports, Lee, if you're a star or you've been a star, you got great representation. You find your way out of these things, Lee, more often than not.
Hi, OJ.
It happens all the time, Lee. All the time.
It's the American way, man. It's the American way.
I don't want anyone to think we're comparing Antonio Brown to OJ.
No. Just, what I was saying, if you can afford the right legal representation, you could skate on some, if not many things.
I remember when you had that fist fight with Rick Stroud. You got off.
It was self-defense, my man. Self-defense.
Sage, Antonio Brown, when I read that he completed his anger management classes, I was actually very happy because I think if you really think about it, if the Bucs receivers and tight ends and Giovanni Bernard and Leonard Fournette, if these guys stay healthy, there's just not going to be a lot of targets for anybody. No one's going to get this huge number of targets this year because there's just so many guys to throw the ball to, Ira. So I think Antonio Brown may have to actually live with, you know, 50 catches this year if everyone is healthy. And of course, Brown got a lot of action last year when guys were dinged up and, you know, benefited from other receivers not being 100%, which is the reason that he was signed. If you remember, Bruce Arians was against it. And then all of a sudden, Antonio Brown, we love you, buddy.
You know, that's a fair point. But Lee, to be fair to Brown, who has been known in the past to be a diva, I think that might be one of the reasons, and Arians worked with him directly and knows him in that regard. And that's probably one of the reasons that initially he balked at bringing Brown in, Lee. But to be fair to Brown, unlike Fournette, who pouted when he didn't get his touches, we don't have any indications that Brown was an attitude problem. We don't. You know, we know how fortunate the Bucs are to have two guys like Evans and Godwin who are not divas. That's a rarity in the modern-day NFL when your two top guys are team guys like that. And, Lee, we got to admit, by the end of the year, Brown was making plays. Yes, he was. He found a way. And, of course, you know, it's always in the back of Brady's mind to get the ball to Antonio Brown. So I understand Steve's point. And he didn't even mention O.J. Howard coming back. And there's another body that's capable, potentially. Not a lot of footballs to go around, Lee, but we don't have any indication that Brown is going to be a frustrated Buccaneer. You got to give him that much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I give him credit. He, everybody and their brother, including myself, thought the guy was going to go mental in some way or another. Look what he did in Pittsburgh. Look what he quit on the Steelers. Literally quit on the Steelers. Was a complete and total head case with Oakland. Drove Chucky even more nuts than what he is. Had Mike Mayock allegedly almost got into a fight with him. He was a choir boy here, we're led to believe. You know, obviously, we didn't have access to the locker room. We don't know for sure, but he sure didn't hear anything. And, you know, we heard about Leonard Fournette whining, and he overcame that and had a hell of a playoff. So.
Yeah, actually, in the archives of JoeBucksFan.com, there's a story in there a while ago about Antonio Brown being a counselor of Leonard Fournette and, you know, sort of guiding him through his tough times, which is fascinating. Sage, one thing, a story that made the rounds nationally, mainly because it's June. So I'll see if the Sage has 2 cents on this. There's a show on Friday, I run HBO. It's called The Shop. Celebrities sit around and talk in a barbershop kind of setting. And Tom Brady's on the show on Friday. So they drop this teaser where Brady says, referencing the end of a free agency type of period, it seems, but he never says that it's him. He never says that it's that he's talking about himself. And he says he references a team and says, "You're sticking with that mother effer at quarterback." And the inference is that Brady's talking about how he couldn't believe that there was a team out there that was in the running for him and dropped out when they were sticking with their guy. Now Brady never mentions quarterback. If you really watch it closely, the little cut is edited, and he could have been talking about somebody else. He could have been talking about Brett Favre 10 years ago, when he was in free agency. You just don't know for sure, but it's been a lot of fun. Who do you think he was talking about? If I had to put my 2 cents in, I would think he was talking about the Chargers dropping out when they hadn't drafted Justin Herbert yet, and they were sticking with Tyrod Taylor, but that's just my 2 cents. What do you think, Ira?
Well, what struck me about it is, and Lee, every once in a while, you get a peek behind the Brady persona. I mean, he's so careful about presenting a public image, but Lee, every once in a while, you get the sense that he's got a wicked sense of humor. Wicked. And doesn't mind, using a profanity for effect. He doesn't give you that glimpse too much. You ain't getting it on a Zoom call with the Buck media. Lee, I'm looking forward. One of the things I'm looking forward to in training camp is actually shaking hands and talking to him directly and telling him that I'm known as the Sage. Who are you? And I might be presenting you in Canton in about 9 years, 5 years. 5 years after your, you know what? You might want to go in as a Buccaneer. You never know. But Lee, he's got a wicked sense of humor, Brady. You don't always see it, but once in a while you do. And he knows this league like nobody's business. And, of course, he knows quarterbacks like nobody's business. Steve thinks it might be the Chargers. Other people are thinking the other teams. But whoever it is, Lee, whoever it is, it shows another side of Brady. You know, he can be one of the guys in a ballroom. And he proved that during the boat parade. Don't get that glimpse of him once too often. But, Lee, I think it shows a more human side of the guy.
Yeah, I would just like to figure out who he was talking about, too. It's intriguing to think it might be Tyrod Taylor. Some people are thinking it's Jimmy GQ. The Tyrod Taylor, I'm sorry. Every time I hear that guy's name, I just can't get it out of my head. Three plays, 75 yards against Cincinnati. That was thank God those guys are over.
What he's not talking about was Jameis Winston, because the Bucs were all in from day one.
Well, what I got out of that was, it sure didn't, if he had that kind of reaction, you know, like the people that pumped that out on social media, sure made, like Steve said, sure made the inference that Brady was talking about a team at the end of free agency that he was sort of interested in. If all that's true, and he had that kind of reaction, that tells me it wasn't exactly a slam dunk for the Bucs again.
My information, Lee, and I got some of this from Season in the Sun, which is the Lars Anderson book that'll be coming out this fall with Bruce Arians' cooperation. There's a lot of stuff about the courting of Tom Brady, and the takeaway from the book, Lee, and I think it's accurate. The Bucs knew immediately, upon the official start of free agency, basically that they were going to get Brady. I mean, the same day, the same hour that it started, you know, Light gave Arians a thumbs up. In Arians' house, like, we're getting this guy. And there was not much negotiation back and forth, gentlemen.
I had to disagree with you a little bit on your characterization of Brady as guarded. And, hey, he could be a barroom guy because we heard him say this or we heard him say that after the Super Bowl. He was having a drink. Ira, the guy joined the Buccaneers. He moved to Tampa. And a week later, he's on with Howard Stern talking about Rob Gronkowski's penis. I think he's opened up quite a bit since he got here to Tampa, Ira. And it started from day one. It's a new Tom Brady. It's nothing new. And I'm not surprised he's said the couple of things that he said and what he's done in the last few months.
Well, unlike you, I'm not into penis jokes, Isbits. However, he is a guy that wouldn't even admit that he lost track of the downs in Chicago. So that's guarded. And we had to wait until about a freaking month ago before he would acknowledge what everybody else in the world knew, every Buck fan worth their salt, Lee, is he screwed up at the end of the Chicago game. Now, I'm not saying it cost him the game. I'm not saying that. But nobody would admit it. And Arians didn't know what the heck to say after the game, and Brady wanted to change the subject. So that, to me, is the definition of guarded, Lee.
Brady is guarded when he wants to be guarded, and those press conferences are borderline terrible. I can't deal with it because he doesn't really say anything. Cliches and, everything's hunky-dory and yawn next.
Well, speaking of yawn, Ira, one reason I sleep at night is because I know that no matter what happens, what I find when I wake up, if I have a disaster, a big leak, I can call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. And they're going to come to my house and give me a free assessment for any disaster. Roof blows off, fire, mold, whatever it might be. Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned, serving the Tampa Bay area and beyond. And they're not a small company, but they're not too big to stray away from personal service. The owner, Josh Martin, good friend of ours, he's been serving readers and listeners to the podcast. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Any mold issue whatsoever.
That's right, Ira. I know you're obsessed with mold, but Florida's Elite Restoration is a licensed mold remediation specialist. Licensed. They're not just a mold guy or a plumber who knows somebody who handles mold. No, Florida's Elite Restoration. They are experts. Get to Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Put that in your phone. Put it on your refrigerator. If you've got a problem, you call them first.
Now, Steve, I don't want to steal your thunder here because you're the master of ceremonies, but I don't know if you're going to bring this topic up, and I think we should. Briefly, an ex-Buccaneer has made big news. Big, major NFL news. Paul Nassib has come out publicly that he's gay. It's a big story. People are weighing in. Most of the commentators are, praising him for his courage and coming out. I'll say this, guys. You know, the times that I saw Nassib in the locker room, on the field, and, you know, there were plenty of times when I wanted to talk to him. But, Lee, he was very reticent. I took it as shyness, you know, a guy that doesn't feel comfortable in social circumstances. A couple of times I walked up to him by myself in the locker room. Because, you know, he wasn't a major contributor, but he had a good year for the Bucs in a part-time role. And, Lee, maybe this explains a little bit why he didn't make himself more available to the media. Maybe.
You know, I don't care what the guy does in his bedroom. It's none of my business. Just don't care. To me, it's not news. He's not even on the Bucs.
Yeah, Ira, you know, I understand that it's big news in the sense that it's all over the news, but is it really big news? I mean, I think any guy in the NFL knows that he's had gay teammates before. It's just a question of the public nature of it all now with him letting everyone know. But I don't think that was why Nassib was sort of standoffish sometimes with the media. He was very similar in some ways with the media as Austin Seferian Jenkins was. Now, I don't think that...
Austin Seferian Jenkins, I thought he was going to try to punch J.P. Peterson that time. He wasn't like that.
No, and this means nothing to the fans and the locker room and stuff. I get that. All right, Ira, you got your piece out there about Nassib, and I haven't seen any Bucks comment yet. I can't say I've read everything out there because, like I said, to me, it's not really a story. But I haven't seen any of his ex-teammates that I could tell from the Bucks speak out. I didn't see anything from anywhere. And he was Buccaneers team captain. It gets overlooked a lot, but in 2019, his teammates voted him captain with Levante David. So he was a guy who was very well liked and well respected. He was a favorite of Todd Bowles. Bowles doesn't like to say he plays favorites, but he said that publicly. You know, so Nassib, he moves on in his career. We'll see what happens. Hey, Ira, on a totally unrelated note, Jimmy Giles, your friend, who is in the Buccaneers Ring of Honor, now he's in the Black College Hall of Fame, just inducted. But Ira, I heard an interview with him. Do you know why he went to Alcorn State? Have you ever gotten that story?
I assume he didn't have a lot of options, Steve, growing up in Mississippi. What do you got?
Well, this is one of the more interesting stories in sports and in life, and I'm going to try to sum it up in 35 seconds. Jimmy Giles, who was from Mississippi, like you said, Jimmy Giles went to Alcorn State, also in Mississippi. And Jimmy Giles had a scholarship offer to Michigan. He had other scholarship offers. And the reason he went to Alcorn State was because there was a young lady that he liked and was just starting to get to know, just got some information about her from his mailman, and he decided she's going to Alcorn State. I'll just walk out and play football there. I want to go out with her.
Outstanding, Steve. I can't believe you know things about Giles that I don't, Isbitz. Can't believe it.
He was asked a couple of follow-ups to this extraordinary tale of what got him to Alcorn State. And he explained that his parents were more interested in academics and they didn't really, you know, care too much that he threw away a scholarship and they had to pay for him to go to Alcorn State. And because he had told them, oh, I just want to stay close to home and, you know, I'll play baseball there and blah, blah, blah. Of course, the announcer asked him, well, did you ever get a date with the girl? And he said, we've been married 44 and a half years.
Wow.
So that was the happy ending.
That's almost as good as that. And darn it, I can see, I can picture the guy's face in front of me. I can't remember his name. He was a fullback for the Patriots when they got blown out by the Bears. He went on to be a college football commentator, and his son, Craig James, is that sound right?
Craig James.
Okay. Well, when Craig James, when he's coming out of high school, he was like one of the top recruits in the country. Like, number one or number two running back. It was between him and, get this, it was between him and Eric Dickerson, who were the best running backs coming out of high school that year. And so he had offers from all over the country. Bear Bryant wanted him something terribly. Girlfriend was a big-time softball player. So Bear Bryant got her a scholarship to play softball at Alabama to try to hope he would follow her to Alabama.
Two things quick, Steve, about Giles that I don't think a lot of people know. One, the Dodgers drafted him in the 12th round. He was a third baseman, and Giles said that the Dodger scout told him, we want you to eventually replace Ron Say. Remember, the Dodgers had that infield that stayed intact like throughout the 70s with Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes. I think Russell was the shortstop, and Say was the third base. It was a heck of an infield. And, Steve, he said something to me last week on the phone about that workout that he did when some of the football scouts came to Alcorn State, and he was on the baseball field doing a practice. And his football coach said, hey, go run with those football guys for the scouts and show them what you can do. Steve, I made him repeat it three times. I mean, I really couldn't believe it. He was 6'3 and a half, 240. So I said, all right. What was the stopwatch? He said 4-4. He said 4-4, Steve. I couldn't believe it. I challenged him. He goes, he says, Ira, they all had their watches, and they all said I ran a 4-4. That is extraordinary, Mr. Isbitz.
Oh, yeah, all part of his great story. And
what is Jimmy Kells most known for in NFL history?
Caught four touchdowns in one game against Miami.
Well, I was thinking something more impactful.
All right.
I believe he was part of the trade with the Houston Oilers and the Bucks that eventually was the selection of Earl Campbell.
He was. He was. That is correct. But, you know, the Bucks went to three playoff appearances in 4 years with Jimmy what? Giles. Giles was the only guy that Williams had to throw to. So if they would have ended up with Campbell, you know, then Williams has no targets. And Steve, if Doug Williams sticks around with the Bucks past 1982, which was a strike season, Jimmy Giles might be in the Hall of Fame if Doug Williams stuck around, because he didn't have much going for him after Doug left.
All right, Ira, your column says the Bucks scale is kind of balanced. Are they going to repeat? Are they not going to repeat? You sort of laid out 4 points why they're going to repeat, 4 points why they might not be able to repeat. We don't have to go through them all, Ira. Anybody can read that at joebucksfan.com. And, of course, all of your work is presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com is where you can shop now at all times. Ask for GM Sean Sullivan if you want some personal assistance. But, Ira, after you think about it a little bit more, you sort of said, hey, the score's tied 4-4. I got 4 points on either side as we head to training camp. Now that you've been away from that column for a couple of days, are you leaning more toward the repeat, Ira? Are you leaning more toward they won't be able to do it? Have you tipped the scales at all? And is there something you feel you omitted?
I think the scales are tipped, that they will not. And what tips the scales? History, Lee. History. 16 straight teams have tried, a lot of them very good teams, all champions, and 16 teams have failed. There's a reason. Now, I understand Brady's the last quarterback to do it, and he happens to be a Buccaneer. But, Lee, when you add up all the pluses and the minuses, all of them, the biggest one of all, Lee, is the unknown, which is health/injuries. That's the unknown. Of course, it could be Brady. He's going to be 44. Let's hope not. But Lee, a Donovan Smith, critical. A Carlton Davis, critical. Levante David or Devin White, critical. Shaq or JPP. Lee, the Bucks have been blessed. The Bucks have been blessed. They had a bad one with Vita Vea, and a healthy Vita Vea is a big plus. But Lee, they have been fortunate. Buck fans may not want to hear it. And Lee, look at a team like the NFC, the last NFC champion, which was the 49ers. They were obliterated, Lee. They were reduced to a pedestrian football team. One after another wiped out. It could happen, Lee. It happens all the time, and it could happen to the Bucks.
There's another fact you didn't mention that is right up there with injuries. That's an unknown. Father Dime. You could also make an argument that the Bucks haven't played their best football. And I'm dead serious when I say that. You know, like Clyde Christian has been saying ever since they won the Super Bowl, they're 8 games away from peaking. Clyde Christian has said that several times. You know, we were talking a couple of podcasts ago about the young defense, specifically the secondary. If they step things up, which they should, they could be better. If Devin White continues to play like he did in the playoffs, that's Ray Lewis II. So you can make an argument the Bucks could get better if Joe Tryon develops well into the latter part of the season, into November and December, and starts contributing and allowing JPP and Shaq to save some snaps and keep pressure. So you can make an argument, just like you made an argument, I ran a good argument, that no, they won't repeat. You could also make an argument, you could flip it over and say, well, the Bucks actually could be better.
No question about it. You know, Steve, when he said Father Time, that was my final point on the negative side, is that while it's a pretty young team, Steve, you know, Jason Light stresses that, and he's got a point to make with guys like Devin White and the secondary, Tristan Wirfs, no question about it. Godwin still, you know, approaching his prime. But they got some age, too. Brady, Gronkowski, Steve, you know, JPP, Sue, Levante David. Steve, you know, when you reach that age, you know, you don't recover from an injury as quick as when you were 25. So that could be a factor too, Steve.
Yeah, look, anything could be a factor, Ira, like you quoted in that column and you had mentioned on the podcast previously, as Bruce Arians said to you, let's just win the damn division. To expect the Bucks to go win 4 in a row on the road to a Super Bowl title is, you can't expect anybody to do that again, especially with full stadiums this season, to make it that much more difficult. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I think they got to get off to a good start. I think that's going to be critical on a lot of different levels, but hey, we can speculate all day long, Ira. This is podcast number one of this week. Anybody can go back to listen to all our podcasts from June. There's two a week rolling all the way through. Sage, as we duck out of here on this summer solstice edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast, if you will, any final thought for Bucks fans?
Yeah, here's a good one. I have firmed up my plans with the help of Joe Bucks fan for Canton. And I am making my return. Lee, I haven't been there since the summer of 2016 when Father Dungy was inducted, much to your chagrin. And I loved that trip. I was up there for Brooks. I'm up there for Sapp, up there for Ed Sable. And I will be up there for John Lynch. Lee, I have been invited to the John Lynch party. I'll be accompanied by my bride of nearly 40 years. I've already told her to get between me and Sapp at all times. At all times. but, you know, I think in an occasion like that, Lee, I think Sapp might extend a hand. I hope he doesn't extend a finger. He might extend a hand.
I'm going to ask you something since you're talking about a finger here. Kirtland was talking about, you know, he's going through all the NFL's offensive lines. He likes the Bucks' offensive line, but there's a couple of things he said. He didn't say much about Wirfs, but he thinks Wirfs is going to be just, you know, tremendous. And he loves Jensen, thinks Kappa's underrated, thinks the absolute world of Ali Marpet, loves Ali Marpet. And it came time to talk about Donovan Smith, and there's still some Bucks fans. They still have a rise in their pants about the guy, and not in a good way. They just can't stand Donovan Smith. And I don't fully understand why. I still think the BFF tribe came out with something a few years ago and branded Donovan Smith, and ever since then, people hate him because the BFF tribe. At any rate, he said Donovan Smith, quote, a good player, a strong player. But this is what bothers him about Donovan Smith, and this is why he thinks Jake Matthews with the Falcons is better than Donovan Smith. Not by much, though. 13 penalties Donovan Smith had last year. That bothered Kerwin.
That's a high number. When they needed him, Lee, he came up big.
Yeah, ESPN, Marcus Spears is ranking as top defensive and pass rushing duos. and he had Chase Young and Montez Sweat over Shaq and JPP. If Chase Young is one of the best defensive ends in the NFL, which I don't know about that yet, he's good, but let's hold off here. Seven sacks, let's tap the brakes. But if he's that good, what's that tell you about Donovan Smith? Chase Young did nothing against Donovan Smith. Not a thing.
Absolutely right, Lee. And I don't think Donovan Smith got a lot of help that night. Steve, the Bucs showed a lot of confidence in Donovan Smith in Washington.
Well, Ira, I'm a little distracted. I know you were talking about your wife and getting her between you and Sapp, and that's dangerous stuff. I mean, keep in mind, Ira, that Sapp was kicked out of the NFL, fired because he paid $600 for a threesome. So you got to be careful.
Well, I demand at least a grant.